That's asking the Lord to bless you. We need the Lord here this morning. I want to look into some of the Word of the Lord this morning over here in the book of John. Maybe the 12th, I can get it open up here. I believe it's the 12th chapter of the book of John. There is something that Jesus, he was getting ready to leave this earth, knowing that, actually was it his, while he was walking here, he was doing these acts among the people and working with people and blessing them in their souls and guiding them. And there was, in this chapter, he's not getting ready to leave this earth, but there's a place that he was saying that he would said the judgment of this world. Now, this is the 31st verse of the 12th chapter of John, the book of John. Now, the judgment of this world now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And he was referring there, I believe, perhaps, anyway, there's one way of looking at it. He could have been referring to the, perhaps the destruction of Jerusalem. And it doesn't have to be that. But it could also be that the judgment of the prince of this world was going to meet his match. The devil does not have the authority when it comes up to Jesus Christ. Either back then when Jesus confronted him or today. And I would like to think this morning some about Jesus' words here. In part of this, in the 32nd verse, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now I believe he was referring there to his being hung on the cross. "I'll draw if I be lifted up." Now for a long time, and I'm not going to argue with you if you want to present it something like this, that I always thought that if we lift Christ up, if we elevate him, if we glorify him, he'll draw men unto him. And I think we do need to do that. I'm all for that. But he was referring here to the fact that he must be crucified. And now is time for him to be glorified. To be glorified to him meant him being crucified. That seems pretty difficult for me. If I would have been there in my humanity, I'd have been thinking, "Lord, glorification doesn't sound like crucifixion to me." But it was. Because he knew that when he hung on Calvary, if he would be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if he was lifted up, there would be something mightily accomplished on the cross. Something great, something that could not be accomplished by humanity. There would be something that would happen when he hung on the cross that would affect all the world. If I be lifted up. That wasn't him saying, make me prominent and stroke my carnal pride. That's not what he was saying. Actually, he was saying, if a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, then he will produce greatness. That same principle applies to you and I today. Brother Marty preached to us last night. Such a wonderful start to the meeting. Pointing out through the last evening how in our life, a lot of times we look and we... And it's wonderful to get some of these great victories. I got victory over that big thing and victory over this big thing. And I can claim it and people can see that I don't do those things anymore. And it's wonderful. But do you hate your neighbor? Do we have attitudes? Have things that aren't like Christ? And Brother Marty pointed out some of these little things that we can bypass, and we look at the big things and gain these victories, and we can bypass sometimes the little things that can fester in our soul. Those things that would give us great hindrance, at least. And sometimes they set us up for eventual failure. We just won't make it. If we let those things fester and stay in us, it will bring us to a place of destruction. And I want to be able, I believe you do too, I want to be able to, when we come to the end of our way, I want to be able to meet him and hear him say, "Well done." I don't think he can say that if I've just been ignoring some of the little things. That we need to fall into the ground. We teach about baptism, don't we? What does that represent to your mind? Death and a burial and a resurrection. All of that is symbolized in this. A new life. Raised the old man. We take him there into history. This is a public testimony. This is what we do. One of the things that we do when we have repented and turned to Christ, left the old man behind and understood and believed Christ as our Savior, and we invested in him, and I've turned from that old man. And if I am in Christ, I am now a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then we come, and the Lord asks us to make public testimony. We should never be ashamed of what the Lord has done in our life. It should be something we can afterwards come and say, "I am part of this body." And we bury... That's part of the reason why we would teach immersion. Buried in that old watery grave. And we come up from that grave. The old man, that symbolization of the old man, the old life is past. It's down there. You know, I got saved, and it was a precious time. Oh, it couldn't have been better. The Lord gave me a precious visit when he saved me and cleansed me and took away the load of guilt, and all that was passed away, and I got up from that altar just completely light and free and had a perpetual smile on my face for quite a while. It was just, the Lord had done so much. But when I went in that watery grave, all of that came flooding back to my memory. The old man's gone. The old man's down there. Though the Lord had already done the work, I wanted everybody else to know that too. And all in my memory, I remember down there, the old man. Up here, the new man. That's what God wants for every one of us. And I want to tell you, I know that's a one-time act that you do that. When you can bury that old man. But I believe that there should be any time that we find a place or something that the Lord puts his finger on. And in this meeting, the Lord's likely to show us places in our life that we need to move up. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if he puts his finger on something in our life, let it fall into the ground. Let it die. Reject it. And come up. What Jesus did when he hung on that cross, he effected our salvation. He said with great confidence, because he knew what he was going to do. He knew that what he was offering to the Lord was a sacrifice without spot or blemish. He knew that he could do something none of us could. And when he hung on the cross, he said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men into me. And I believe when he said all men, I believe he meant all men. That doesn't mean that all men will respond to his drawing. That means all men will hear and feel his drawing. We all have that responsibility. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men into me. And Christ, in this great act, what was it that? Was it Paul said, I want to hear nothing among you? I'm not getting that wording right. But Christ and him crucified. Can somebody quote that better for me? Because I know I probably got it messed up in your mind. It's going to be hard for you to quote it. But it's something like that. He purposed to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. There you go. He's determined not. Read that again, Brother Clint.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Wonder why he said that. I believe back then, as the people, you know, they're not much different than what we are. Those people back then, they were wrestling with all the changes in their life and some of from the Mosaic Law and things that they were learning differently. And there were some said, you need to be circumcised. And some said, no, it's not necessary. There was this struggle they were going with. And the humans all had their opinions. And the humans can at least allow the devil to make things big that don't need to be made big. And Paul said, when I come here, I'm determined. Brother, you can come and tell me all what's wrong with this other brother. And this other brother can come and tell me all the stories about you. But I've determined when I come among you, I won't hear anything about Christ, but Christ and him crucified. Tell me about his salvation in your life. Has he been lifted up in your life? Has there been a new life brought in you? Has the old man passed away? Has all become new? Is that the focus? That is the foundation that we build on. It is in this Christ. It is in this what he accomplished for us on Calvary. That's what we've got to build our life on. It's not on what Brother D.S. Warner, and I appreciate what Brother D.S. Warner brought to us. I appreciate the truth that he got a hold of and all the other brethren. I appreciate what Paul brought to us. Be careful. Let's not stop at 1880. Let's don't start at 1880. Let's go clear back to where Christ said, if I be lifted up. The Lord has something for every one of us, a truth that will lead us away from our flesh, that will lead us to a place of crucifixion for us. I don't want to know anything. You know, the devil will love to take all the little differences, and some of them may be legitimate. Some of them may be the devil has a way of causing things to happen. But you and I don't have to allow that to be the thing that defines the rest of our lives. You know what the Lord wants to build in all of us? By his divine love, what he accomplished on Calvary, when he made that bridge between us, that sacrifice that paid the penalty, that made it so that death didn't have to rule in our life anymore. See, death was a consequence of sin. And it had to be overcome by the very life of the spotless lamb that hung on Calvary. And he paid the price and he brought us near together. The unholy can now be saved and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and be brought into the holy. And the veil of the temple was rent, where we can enter in to the very holiest of holies. The Lord himself has made that way for us. This is what he accomplished on Calvary. And now he wants that seed that he's planted in our life not to lie dormant, but he wants it to grow, to bring forth 100-fold. And what's the difference between whether it brings forth 40, 60, or 100-fold? What's the difference in the increase? Part of it is the type of ground that we give it. The type of ground is our choice. Can you understand that? The Word of God is going to be powerful and effective in our life, but it'll only be as effective as much to the degree that we yield to it. And that's the ground. And if we yield, and in this series of services, again, I was so appreciative of what the Lord gave us last night. It was just a good, for me anyway, it was touched places in my heart last night. And I thank God for that. He's not done working with us. I've lived for Him over 40 years, but that doesn't mean He's done working with any of us. The difference is how much we're willing to yield to Him and allow Him to shape us and change us. Not become arrogant and so set in our ways that we can't change. But as that seed begins to grow within our heart, what fruit grows from the seed of Christ? Is it not going to be the very character of the Father who gave it? Isn't it going to be His love, His graces, all? He will paint us with His very character. He will shape us into His image. Will He not? In this day, I have been enormously challenged when I read some of Jesus' words. And I probably said this before, but as I ponder on it now, when He looked at humans like us, and He told them, if somebody compelled you to go a mile, give him one more. And if one slapped you on one cheek, how y'all feel about that one? If you're gonna sit in the crowd, Lord, we love to hear your words. We have been inspired by what we've heard you do, and we've gathered. We're from all parts. We've traveled lots of miles, and we're sitting here now before you, eager with our mouths open and listening with an attentive ear. And I hear you tell me if somebody slaps you on one side. That challenges me, folks. I just have to confess to you, it's not easy for me to think about. But it's good truth. Why? What is He touching there? It's not just the act of turning the other cheek. It's the act of not letting the seed of Satan grow in my heart. That thing that would destroy that seed of true love for my fellow man. That thing that would get in there and cause hate to grow. Where hate lives, love doesn't. And love itself is the character of our Lord. Love is what causes us. Well, let's go back a little farther. Love is what caused Him to hang on that cross. And love then, when His seed is in our heart, it changes us fundamentally. It is on the... How should I say this? God begins a work that doesn't end. He works to change us fundamentally. He starts the work, and it's a mighty work, but He's not done when He begins. And He continues shaping you and I into His image. And so when I hear His message, when I hear what He says to people, I am greatly challenged, because I feel like sometimes I'm sitting there too and say, Lord, how do I receive this one? How about when He says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood? How do you hear that? You know, some of those people heard that and that sounded repulsive to them. But He was talking to them about receiving His words, receiving His character. He was talking to them about, and sometimes the things that He says is challenging and comes so close to our heart that we have to take up his cross, take up our cross and deny ourselves. And it cuts very close to the flesh. And it can be offensive to me if I let it. Or I can look at him and say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how to even implement that in my life. I hear what you said. I heard you say, turn the other cheek also. And right now, I don't know how to do that. But Lord, I want your grace. I want to be like you. I want to die. And today, maybe the Lord hasn't asked you to turn the other cheek. But maybe tomorrow he will. And Lord, I hear what you say, and I want to be like you. Why does the Lord want that character to be in all his children? Well, there's a number of reasons, and one of them at least. Because when we let the other character in, it destroys us. It'll hurt us in every way. It'll tear apart our families. It'll let the devil in. And the other, at least one other reason, is that God loves the man who slaps you. And he wants him to see Christ. Think of it this way. We have an example in the scripture. You remember Moses, when the children of Israel were wanting to have, they were dry and thirsty, and they wanted water, and the Lord brought them water out of the rock. And you remember later on when Moses again was, they were crying to him, and he felt, you notice how he felt inside? There was something begin, and he was upset, and he was pressed in his spirit, and the Lord told him and said, I don't want you to strike the rock this time. He said, I want you to speak to it. The Lord had his reasons. And Moses, in all his humanity and frustration, he grabbed that stick again and he smote the rock and said, shall I fetch water for you out of this rock, you rebels? What did those people see that day? What did they see? Did they see Christ? Did they see a godly? They saw Moses in all his carnality. You know what it did? It hurt the people. And it also hurt Moses. I am challenged when I, and realizing all the time that you and I have the same opportunity in life. When we meet hard places, Lord, help us to lift up Christ. Again, it's a Christ, it's a crucified Christ we're lifting up. We're not lifting up ourselves or a system, but we're wanting them to see Christ. And his and the crucified Christ. And that means, in my mind, that means when we're lifting up a crucified Christ, we're giving our fellow man an answer for his soul. Anybody can give someone a piece of their mind. But it takes Christ in us to give the Spirit of Christ to others. It's a lot of difference. Well, I haven't read all that I intended to. I really liked up above in this story, if you let me to digress and go back there. There were some men who were Greeks. And I don't know whether that definition or what it talked about Greeks here, I don't know whether they were people who lived in a, who were Jews perhaps, who lived in a Greek area. They spoke Greek. And they came to Jerusalem to worship. Because they came here to Jerusalem to worship. That's what they were here for. It could have been Greeks. It could have been Greek proselytes too. The Lord had a way then that anybody. Ruth was one of those, wasn't she? Who converted. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She wasn't raised a Jew. Her lineage wasn't that, but she became one. These Greeks may have fallen in that. I don't know. Or they may have just simply been some plain old Greeks over there that had heard about all that was going on and was curious. And they came there. And they came to Philip. And they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I think the world's looking for him. And sometimes they don't even know what they're looking for. But they want to see him. You know how they're going to see him today? Has anybody, and you may have, I don't know if you have, has anybody seen Jesus walking in the flesh? I haven't seen that vision. But I have seen him acted out in many a man's life. I have seen the grace of God. There was a man out there in West Virginia years ago. He's dead. Old Brother White. And if you knew all the things that he had opportunity to be upset about, and know the grace that he got, he found in the Lord, you'd glorify his Lord. Because he found grace to deal with some very hard things. As a man, it's hard to deal with some of the things he went through. But he found grace. And he portrayed the life of Christ. He was a man just like you and I. Like passion. He dealt with life. Hard places. I remember one time I was asking him about his wife and some of the situation there. And you couldn't hardly get him to. He never said a cross word about his wife. The only thing he told me, he said, "I didn't always treat her right." And he said, "I love my wife." And he said, "Pray for my wife." And you know what? I'm confident that his wife saw Christ in him. Because later down the road, not too far from her going on home, didn't she give her heart to the Lord? Isn't that what we want, folks? Sir, brother, sister, as you walk among the people around you, they won't always say nice things about you. And they don't have to. But brother and sister, they want to see Jesus. "I don't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." That's what we want to see. We want to see the reality of what he does in a man's life. I don't just want to tell you a lot of stories, but here's another one that I read about a man. This is what the early morning church did. There were saints who were, I'm talking about saints, I'm talking about those way back in the early morning time. This man, he was a Roman soldier. He was a leader of the Roman band. I don't know exactly his position, but he was a leader of that band. And he had seen many of the Christians and participated in some of the persecution of the Christians. And later on, what he saw in them affected him to the point. And he knew the penalty. That if you was a Roman soldier that turned to Christ, it was death. And he stood up before his men. He took off his armor and laid it on the ground and said, "I'm a Christian." They ran him through with a sword. "Sirs, I would see Jesus." It means something. This isn't a light thing. And if you think today, oh, I hear sometimes people say, "It's so hard." I want to tell you today, we have it easy. And I want to tell you one other thing that'll make it easy. If you fall in love with him. If you fall in love with him, it will change. It'll make. It's so much more easy, isn't it? See, his commandments said aren't grievous, but they're They're easy. Because we love Him. Well, they came and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. That is the 20th verse, about, talking about certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came to Philip, which was of Galilee, and declared him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And I don't know, I wonder why, you know, Philip came over there and told his brother, his fellow disciple. And then Philip and Andrew went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground. That's what he said next. Man will be, he'll be glorified. Then the next, fall into the ground and die. He was fully embracing his role. And today, when he looks at us in all of our humanity, the places we are, he knows today that he is master of the places that we have in our life. There's nothing that you have that he's not able to deliver you from. Not a thing. There's not a place in any of our lives that the Lord himself is not able to address, and he's fully confident that he can deliver to the uttermost. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. That's just a fact. Spiritually. If you want to walk with the Lord, and if you want to try to, on one hand, if you want to say, Lord, I want to be given to you wholly. And then on the other hand, we try to hang on to our old life and our old carnality and allow and not allow the Lord to really have all of us. Well, then we're not going to be successful at all. If we're going to hang on, we'll die. It'll be a drought will come in our soul. But on the other hand, loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life, again, this isn't hating yourself, but this is rejecting that's not like Christ. All that carnality, all that would stand up in opposition to Christ's likeness. Hate that. Reject that. Turn from that. But hateth his life in this world, he shall keep it unto life eternal. There again, this I want so desperately when I come down to the end of my life to be able to hear him say, well done. I don't want to be one of those that's been careless in my walk with the Lord and wanted to hang on to things that would be destructive to my soul. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Again, this is a truth. Again, this is it's just a fact. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That's action. It's easy for us to say that I want to serve the Lord. But it's more than just saying it. Let him go ahead and follow. And in the following, there is a walk that progresses down this road, following the Lord. As we follow him, you know what the disciples began to see as they followed him? Well, they saw him take a few loaves of bread and start breaking it after he blessed it. And fed 5,000. They had to be rejoicing after that. I would have been too. But then they also saw other things. They saw those that were following Jesus, they saw soldiers get a hold of him. They heard things that was hard to receive. And again, when Peter heard some of those things that was hard to receive, I so like his response when Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" What was it that Peter responded? He said, "Lord, where? There's no place to go. There's no place else. Where else? Because why? You have the words of eternal life. I've found it in you. And though I might be confused in myself right now, not knowing exactly how to handle what I'm hearing and seeing, I'm going to stay right here because I know who you are. If any man would have served me, let him follow me, because he's going to go through experiences. He's going to find places in himself. He might even hear the Lord say, put up the sword." Peter had taken the sword and actually cut off a man's ear. When we follow the Lord, we hear his correction. We hear his love. We see his magnificence. Recently, and I don't want to glorify anybody here, but Sister Brenda Wilkins had been dealing with cancer. And she shared with us the mass that they had found. If I remember right, she said it was about 6 inches in diameter. And she was in a lot of pain. Looked like she wasn't going to live that much longer. This is real. This is recent. This has been this winter. This has been very recent. Circumstances brought it where she needed to go and have it checked out again because some of the things that needed to have some answers for. And she told them the situation and they were amazed. And they said, "It's 3/4 inch in diameter now." You know, if you walk with the Lord, you're going to see some things. You know what? When we hear stories like that, it should cause a great praise to come up within our heart. You know, that night when she shared this story here, and I'm not a shouter, but if you are, you ought to be. I want you to feel free. You can shout. Because those things ought to be. We ought to really thank God for those things. Because when we walk with Him, we see His power. And we're going to miss that power when we deviate and walk somewhere else. God wants to show Himself to us. Not everything that we find as we walk with Him will be. We're not always going to feel just up on the mountain. Because one came and said he wanted to come with him. And remember what he said? Foxes have holes. I don't have a place to lay my head. We're going to see that too if we follow the Lord. But we're going to see him. These Greeks came and said, "We would see Jesus." And I want to tell you today, if we walk with him, we're going to see Jesus. There will be the reality of Christ will happen in our life. We follow him. We will. As we walk down that road, we're going to have experiences one after another. Some of my experiences in my life, and I know you that have walked with him for a time, you can look back and see some experience. Some of them, have to admit, some of them weren't always pleasant at the moment. But as we walk with him, we see the wisdom of the Lord. We see his glory. We see his counsel. We feel his touch. We know that he's real. And it gives us something then when we can look, when we find other people that don't know him, and there's a whole world of them out there that are doubters, that don't know which way to go, and the Lord would have us to have something so real that we can look at them in the eye and say, "I know one that can help you." Reminded of a song right now. "I know a man who can." You ever heard that one? "He can open blind eyes. He can save people from the depths of sin." There's great hope. When he hung on If I be lifted up, all that he accomplished there on Calvary, all that he gave there was to save men from the depths of destruction. If I be lifted up, he knew it and he proclaimed it. And in our ears, maybe today we think, oh, if we can just lift him up, others will see him too. But the way the Lord wants us to lift him up is by following him, allowing him to live through us. But what he was proclaiming to the world, if I die, if I am crucified, if I am he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He said that with great confidence because he knew what he was going to accomplish. And you and I can anchor our hearts and our lives in him this morning. All during this meeting, during this time of visitation, I believe the Lord is going to come here and give us all opportunity. If we'll take this opportunity, allow him to work in our lives, to change us. Because I believe he loves us. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects and guides and gently leads us along. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Oh, don't you want to be with him? Don't you want to be right up beside him? Not only here, but in eternity. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. He was dealing with the very fact. He knew what was ahead of him. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, should I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I into the world. And so he went to the cross and made it so that you and I can be saved. I want to end with this challenge perhaps again to us. If somebody came to see, they'd heard some stories. They had heard that the glory of the Lord was here. And they walked in the doors back there and said, sir, I want to see Jesus. What do you have to give him? Do you have all your opinions to give him? I hope it's more than that. Do you have what Brother Warner taught in 1880? I hope it's more than that. I hope it's what Christ accomplished on Calvary. That's the foundation. And if he slaps you, I hope he gets a piece of Christ. And not us. Sanctify the Lord in their eyes. May they see him. Because we have a world, and some of them are twisted in their minds today. And some of it abrades our soul, and we feel like they're so wrong, and they are wrong. But I don't care how wrong they are, how sinful they are. So were we until Christ saved us. God wants them to see Christ. And they're looking for him. These twisted minds out there need to see Jesus. And so the world comes sometimes not even knowing how to say it. But they're troubled out there. And they look at you and I and say, let me see hope. Where's love? Where's the God you speak of? Is he real? Sir, we would see Jesus.